Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thank you so much for your support. And I want to thank Joan, Lise, Jermaine, and Gary for their generous support. We'll send access to our premium site, as we do with all donations of $7 or more. Now it is time for us to... And you can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, The Shady Lane Matter, Part 3 and Part 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Mr. Dollar, well, this is Jed Bramler.
Oh, hiya, Constable.
Reckon I got the wrong number. I was calling Shady Lane Cafe.
Now you've got it. I'm sitting right here at the counter.
Yes, well, but where's Millie, Mr. Dollar?
She's busy crying at the moment. I'm waiting for her to get through and hoping she'll confess to murder.
Now, you hadn't ought to gone and made her cry that way. Millie is a fine girl.
That's the trouble with this whole case, according to you. Everybody in this township is fine people, all of them. Ellen Bates was a fine woman, too, and now she's dead. And one of these fine people killed her.
I'm going
to find out which one, Mr. Bramler, and I'm going to tag him for it. With your help or without it.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Shady Lane, Vermont, to the home office, Star Mutual Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Shady Lane matter. Expense account continues. Item 7, $1.40, one pot roast special at the Shady Lane Cafe, while waitress Millie Wells dried her tears and repaired her face. I thought over what she'd said, what I'd taken for a confession, and tried to fit it in with the other facts in the case, what few facts there were. A young farm wife, a semi-invalid named Ellen Bates, had been shot to death while sitting at the front window of her house. The weapon was an old-fashioned squirrel rifle, a type of gun owned by half the people in the township. Ellen Bates had no known enemies. Her husband, beneficiary of a $10,000 insurance policy on his wife's life, had been accused by a spiteful neighbor of carrying on with pretty waitress Millie Wells.
It's a lie, Mr. Dollar. Anyone who says Ben and I were seeing each other or even thought of such a thing before his wife's death is a mean, vicious liar.
All right, take it easy now, take it easy. There's no point in getting yourself all worked up and starting to cry again.
Ben's a fine man, straight and decent. And it makes me boil to have some low, sneaking gossip try to smear his reputation without reason.
It reflects on your reputation a little too, Millie.
I don't care about me. I told you what I've been through. I'm used to it.
Do you ever get used to something like that?
No. No, not really. Murder charge isn't an easy thing to forget. You dream about it nights. Prison, the courtroom, the trial. The things they said about you.
But you were acquitted, finally.
I was acquitted, and I was innocent. But just being tried for murder brands a person for life.
What were the details of the case?
First, let me tell you about Ben. You haven't met him yet, Mr. Dollar. You don't know him. And I know the line you're thinking along.
It's the way things point, Millie.
Then things point wrong, that's all.
Maybe. Go on.
Well, he's been coming in here for the last 6 months. Not often, just every once in a while, just to eat.
Does Ben know you stood trial on a murder charge?
He does now. He didn't before his wife was killed. We just made conversation, that's all.
And since her death?
There's been no carrying on, as some people choose to think. One day Ben said, "Millie, when this mess is all settled, I'd like very much to see more of you."
That's all.
That's all. And that's enough. Because I love him.
About the trial, Millie.
It was 4 years ago, in Chicago. I was working for a family on the West Side as a nursemaid, governess. They were wonderful.
What happened?
The wife died suddenly, under strange circumstances. It could have been an accident, or it might have been poison. I thought you already knew about it. That's why I blurted it out that way.
Oh, I'd have found out anyway, sooner or later.
Yes, I know. It was in all the headlines. The same things that they'll be saying about me here.
What do you mean?
I was accused of murdering the wife because I was in love with the husband.
I left the Shady Lane Cafe, and the tortured girl whose secret, close hidden for 4 frightened years, was now the property of a stranger. It was late now, and the town square was dark and deserted. A stark white moon was climbing the eastern sky, and the soft summer night's breath stirred in the leafy tops of the maples, whispering other secrets, secrets the villagers dared not stay abroad and listen to. A fantasy, sure, pure and simple. Maybe it was a bad slice of pot roast. Anyway, the dim light burning in the office of Constable Jed Bramler brought me back to harsh reality.
Come in, Mr. Dollar. Come in. Pull up the chair.
Okay. Thanks.
That girl stopped crying yet?
Sniffling a little, maybe. But she's practically stopped. For the time being, at least.
Mean something by that?
You know what I mean by it.
Yeah, I reckon you must have found out about her past, so to speak.
You knew about it?
Yeah, since the day she came to town. Stopped in to see me, told me all about it.
Well, you were keeping it pretty quiet, weren't you?
It was told in confidence, Mr. Dollar.
All right, but this is a murder case.
It don't have no bearing. Millie ain't involved.
Would you mind if I had a chance to decide that once in a while?
Didn't know you'd be interested.
Don't you realize that Millie Wells may be the reason for the killing?
Still beating a dead horse, eh?
I think that horse is coming to life, Mr. Bramler.
You do.
The way things stand right now, a prosecuting attorney could go into court with a pretty strong case. The charge, first-degree murder. Accused, your friend Ben Bates.
You ain't met Ben yet, Mr. Dollar.
No, I haven't met him, but the facts add up. It's an old story.
Yeah, it's a downright classic.
An invalid wife, a pretty girl, a run-down farm that doesn't look as though it's made a profit in years. A $10,000 life insurance policy dangling like a carrot.
Yeah, fact is, it's even worse a picture if you're mind to look at it that way.
Oh.
That farm of Ben's ain't only run down, it's mortgaged to the hilt.
Oh.
Ben needed money for Ellen's operations. She'd had 3 in the last year and a half. He tried every way he knew how to, but the banks wouldn't touch it.
Well, in that case...
Martin Preeny, his next-door neighbor, come through and helped him out. $7,500.
Is the farm worth that much?
Nope. Wouldn't bring $4,500 if it was sold tomorrow. That's what I mean. Ben feels pretty obligated.
And the $10,000 from that policy on his wife would have taken the pressure off all the way around. Plus, leave him free to marry Millie Wells.
All right. I know it adds up that way. I've been studying over this thing for a month now, trying to figure out some other way of explaining it, hoping that somebody would show their hand. Yes, make a move of some kind.
And nothing's happened, huh?
No. Whoever done it is just sitting tight, waiting. Might be a good thing that you come along. Might jar things loose a little.
Yeah. Well... whether I'm right or wrong, one thing we've got to jar loose is that gun.
That's a fact, all right. Can't make much of a case against nobody without that gun.
You said nearly everybody in the township owned one of those old-fashioned squirrel rifles, the type Ellen was killed with.
That's right.
But what about her husband? Does Ben own one?
Nope. Nothing but a shotgun.
Yes, I saw it when we were out there this afternoon hanging over the mantel. But at the same time, I noticed something else.
What do you mean?
That shotgun was resting on a pair of hooks set into the bricks above the fireplace. But the hooks hadn't been put there for that particular gun. Now, they were too far apart.
What are you getting at, Mr. Dollar?
I think those hooks would fit a squirrel rifle just fine.
Ben ain't one to lie. He told me he didn't have a rifle. But that's something else I've been studying about.
What do you mean?
I kind of half remember seeing a squirrel gun hanging over that mantle in years gone by.
Expense account item 8, $3. Car expense for another trip out to the Bates farm. A late night trip this time, and the last one, I hoped. Constable Bramler had suggested that my being in the case might help stir things up. Good, I was all for it. And not just stir things up, but wind them up. Tonight, maybe, if we caught Ben Bates at home.
Lights on inside.
Yeah, he must be here someplace.
Oh, evening, Jed.
Ben, like you to meet Mr. Johnny Dollar.
Mr. Dollar?
Hi, Ben.
Well, you fellas are out late.
Little, I reckon. Mind if we come inside, Ben?
Oh, sure. Sorry, Jed, I didn't think. Well, let's go on back through to the kitchen. That's about the only room I use since... Well, anymore, I mean. Set yourselves down there at the table. I'll get us some lemonade if there's any ice left.
Oh, a lemonade lift would suit me fine.
Don't go to no trouble for us, Ben.
No trouble at all. Got it already made. Just have to chip a little ice into it. I reckon you'll kind of have to bear with me. I'm not much used to having callers come around since Ellen...
It's all right, Ben.
Here we are. Hey, you fellas got some business out this way tonight?
Fact is, Ben, we come out here to talk to you. Mr. Dollar is an insurance investigator. He's here to find out who killed Ellen.
I see. You got any ideas yet, Mr. Dollar?
I've kind of got an idea you might have done it, Ben.
I wouldn't have harmed a hair of Ellen's head.
I could be wrong.
Mr. Dollar has been checking around, Ben, talking to people here and there. Preenies, Millie Wells.
What's Millie got to do with it?
Nothing, maybe. Or she might be part of the motive.
I didn't even make her acquaintance, hardly, before the last week or two.
What about Mrs. Preeny? You've known her longer, haven't you?
Yes, she was a good friend of Ellen's. Why?
She thinks you killed your wife. She wrote an anonymous letter about it to the insurance company.
The woman's crazy. I knew she never liked me for some reason, but I sure wouldn't figure her to go that far.
Ben, whatever happened to that squirrel rifle you had around the house?
Why, the week before Ellen died, somebody...
Yes, Ben?
No, I didn't lie to you, Jed, not actually. When I told you I didn't have a rifle like that, I didn't. Not then. And you didn't ask me if I had had one.
What happened to the rifle?
Well, it was stolen the week before Ellen was killed. I haven't seen it since.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the truth, Mr. Dollar.
You didn't report it being stolen?
Ellen asked me not to. She figured she knew who took it, and she wanted to give them a chance to make good. You know how she was.
But after she'd been shot by that same kind of rifle, you still didn't report it.
Report afterward that the gun had been took before?
Who might have taken it, Ben?
Well, I've tried to think. It wasn't nobody came here that week except Mrs. Preeny and Grody Hawkins.
Grody Hawkins?
That's the hired hand we met here this afternoon, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, I know. The one who was a dead shot with a gun.
No. Grody wouldn't kill nobody. He's a little touched, maybe, but he's good-hearted and gentle.
Is he another one of your pets, Constable? Don't you care whether the killer is identified?
Kind of a funny question to ask a murder victim's uncle.
Uncle? Mr. Bramler, was Ellen Bates your niece?
He was. Didn't think to mention it, Mr. Dollar. Just figured you knew, I guess. And anyhow, it don't have no bearing.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar. Hello? Hello? Hello, hello? Sorry to scare off your caller, Ben.
You always answer other people's phones, Mr. Dollar?
Yeah, when it's right at my elbow. And when I want to find out who's calling at this time of night.
Did you find out?
I think so. I know of only one person in the township who'd probably hang up when they heard my voice.
And who you reckon that'd be, Mr. Dollar?
Millie Wells, Jed. Who else?
I think you'd better leave Millie out of this if you don't mind.
I can understand your concern, Ben, but I'm afraid I can't go along with it. Your wife has been murdered. Gossip around town says you and Millie have been interested in each other. And Millie stood trial 4 years ago on a charge of murder. Add it up, Ben. Add it up.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar.
from Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Shady Lane, Vermont, to the home office, Star Mutual Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Shady Lane matter. Expense account continued. It was a messy case, hard to move around in. A small community, and everybody in it was a neighbor or friend of everybody else. Except, of course, the unknown person who'd murdered Ellen, Ben Bates' invalid wife. But the ties were close. Ellen, it turned out, was the niece of Constable Jed Bramler. And Sarah Preeny, next-door neighbor, had accused Ben of carrying on with waitress Millie Wells, who was a good friend of Constable Bramler. And Sarah Preeny's husband had helped Ben out of a jam by loaning him $7,500 on a worthless farm. Yeah, it was sticky and tight and uncomfortable. Touch one domino and you moved all of them. But the key to the game, I was still convinced, was Ben Bates himself.
Yeah, you're wrong, Mr. Dollar. I've known Ben here for more years than I care to think about. Murder just ain't in his nature.
Mr. Bramler, I think you're just too close to this case to keep a perspective on it.
I know these people, and you don't.
Well, that's exactly the point. Ben is your friend. He was married to your niece, so you just can't imagine him committing a murder.
It ain't in his nature.
Oh, I've never seen a killer yet without at least a few friends who were certain that murder wasn't in his nature.
Now listen to me, both of you. It's not a question of my nature. It's a question of fact, and the fact is a plain and simple one. I didn't kill Ellen, Mr. Dollar.
A lot of things say different, Ben.
And there's nothing at all between me and Millie. If Ellen had lived, I'd have never spoken to her. As it is, I've only asked her if I could see her sometime, once this thing is all settled.
Well, you're together, at least. That's about what she told me.
We're together because it's the truth, Mr. Dollar.
Or because you've already talked it over.
One fault I haven't got is lying.
Not even about your rifle being stolen?
Oh, well, it wasn't no actual lie. When Jed here asked me if I had a squirrel gun, I said no. And like I told you, I didn't then. It had already been stolen.
Suppose he'd asked you if you had a squirrel rifle.
Well, I reckon I'd have had to fess up to it.
Well, we'll never know, of course, for sure. But one thing is sure. After your wife was shot and killed by a gun of that same type, you still didn't report to the constable here that yours had been taken.
Well, I explained it to you. How would it have looked if I'd have told him after Ellen was shot that my old squirrel gun had been stolen before?
And you didn't report the theft when it happened because Ellen asked you not to. Is that the story?
She thought she knew who took it. She wanted a chance to get it back without causing them trouble.
And of course she's not here now to back you up on that.
It's the truth. She was like that. Jed here, I'll tell you. Kind-hearted and tolerant with people.
Yeah, he was that all right. It's a fact.
If either Mrs. Preeny or Grody Hawkins took it, and they're the only ones that was here that week, then she was aiming to talk to whichever one it was and get it back without bringing the law in. Only she never had the chance to. She was killed.
Yeah. Yeah, and that gun figures in it somehow. It's bound to. Look, we've got to find it, Mr. Bramler.
Might take some doing.
Then we'd better get at it.
Tonight?
Tonight. We got things stirred up now. Let's keep them stirred up.
No, all right.
Ben, you claim you're not guilty of this.
It ain't a claim. It's a fact.
Then who would you say is the most likely suspect?
Ellen didn't have a single enemy in this world, as far as I know. There ain't a person in this township that had a reason to kill her.
Except you.
For the money, you mean? For that life insurance policy?
It's worth $10,000.
And I'm that kind, you think? A man who'd murder his own wife just to get his hands on $10,000.
Ben, I don't know. But there's one thing you can count on. I'm going to find out. Constable Bramler and I left Ben alone in his empty farmhouse, drove back into town. The moon was higher now, and the countryside was dappled in black and silver. And it, too, was empty and silent. We alone moved and made noise as we rattled down the winding dirt road through the flint rock valleys between the sleeping elms and maples. Logic still pointed at Ben Bates, but I'd begun to doubt logic a little. Bramler was right. Murder didn't seem to be in Ben's nature. And I wasn't sure now whether he sat there in his silent house alone with guilt or alone with grief.
Grody lives back of the feed store there.
What do you mean, back of it?
Well, kind of a shack there on the back corner of the lot. They let him live in it in return for keeping an eye on the store at night.
Yeah, quite a choice for a night watchman, a kid who's been up several times for petty theft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I reckon it does seem a bit odd. Well, let's go see if he's there. You know, folks around here use a person according to his nature. Grody is pretty reliable at something he's made responsible for.
And why do you think he might have stolen that squirrel rifle from Ben Bates' place? He was working for Ben, wasn't he?
But just as a hired hand. He wasn't hired specially, not to steal. But here he is.
Oh, now, that's a fine point of ethics.
Well, most points of ethics is that way. Reckon Grody just does ornery things sometimes so people will notice him, take an interest in him. He's a little simple-minded, but he ain't a bad kid at heart.
Is anybody bad in your book, Mr. Bramler?
Whoever killed Ellen Bates is. Watch step now. It's pretty dark back here.
Yeah. I hope nobody has dug a hole here someplace.
Ain't likely. No, I think the door is here by the corner somewhere, if I recollect rightly. It's been a long time.
Watch it.
You all right?
Bruised my shins all. Now, who in the Sam Hill put all these boxes in front of the door here?
You stop right there now. Don't you move.
He's got a rifle on us.
All right, don't try nothing, Miss Dollar. Like I told you, he's a dead shot.
What you whispering about there?
Never you mind, Grody. You just put that gun down.
I'll put it up. Don't you move now. Let me get my flashlight.
It's Jed, Grody. Constable Bramler. Mr. Dollar's with me.
You stand still till I get a light on you. And then we'll see. That golly tits.
Yes, didn't you recognize my voice?
Never can tell. People might try something funny. Try to break in. Something like that.
Well, now that you know who we are, Grody, how about having a look at that gun you're holding on us?
Well, I don't know. I guess if Constable Bramler says it's all right.
It's all right, Grody. Let him look at the gun.
All right, then. Here.
Thanks. Mind holding the flashlight here?
All right.
Well, at least this isn't the one. It's a .22.
What are you fellas up to, anyhow?
Grody, what did you do with that squirrel rifle you took from over Ben Bates' mantle? Well, Grody?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't?
Anybody who says I done that is lying.
Nah. Don't get excited, Grody. We don't want to wake up this whole town while we're walking across there.
Where are we going, Constable?
Over to the city jail. Quiet night. Not even a mockingbird singing out there.
I wish that bird back in the cell would do some singing.
Yeah, he will. Always gets to bothering him after he's in for a while.
30 minutes hasn't bothered him much.
He'll talk pretty soon.
Provided, of course, he has anything to talk about.
I know that boy inside out. Now, whether he stole that gun or not, he's lying about something. I'm going to have to buy some oil one of these days. Doggone chair even gets on my nerves.
I don't think anything gets on your nerves, Mr. Bramler.
Well, the country up here has that kind of influence, I reckon. These hills are older than man. They've seen a lot of things come and go. Guess they kind of quiet a person down if he stays here long enough.
I doubt if this place is as quiet as it looks. I think there are things under the surface like flint rocks in a field, and sooner or later they work to the top and break off a plowshare.
Yeah, happens sometimes.
Isn't there anyone you can think of who might have hated her, even slightly?
Miss Dollar, if I was to say honestly who I thought was the best-liked person in this whole township, I would have to name my niece, Ellen Bates.
And yet somebody put a bullet through her head and fired at her from the brush without even any warning.
It's a fact.
There had to be a lot of hate behind that bullet, or a lot of greed.
Same old tune, eh? Ben killed her for the insurance.
I keep coming back to it because nothing else makes any sense.
And neither does that.
He owed that mortgage to Martin Preeny, and the farm wasn't worth it.
Martin wasn't pressing him for it.
Maybe not. But if I tag Ben right, he still felt the obligation, the sense of pressure. $10,000 must have looked pretty big to him.
Not that big, Mr. Dollar.
Then there's Millie Wells, pretty as a picture and in love with him. And an invalid wife at home. Well, our pigeon's starting to chirp.
Well, let him think I ain't coming right away. He gets more anxious. Saves time in the long run.
Matter of understanding his nature, huh?
Something like that.
Constable Bramler?
What about your nature, Mr. Bramler?
Always was kind to my mother.
And your niece, too?
Meaning?
How did you and Ellen get along?
Fine. Just fine.
Constable!
Reckon he must be ready to talk now.
It's true. I was lying about it. I stole that gun, all right. But I ain't got it now.
Where is it, Grody?
I sold it. to Mr. Martin Preeny to hang in his house.
Martin Preeny?
Yeah, can't figure Martin paying money for something to hang in the house. He's too tight-fisted.
He gave me $4 for it about 3 weeks ago.
That would be after Ellen was shot. And you took the gun the week before the murder.
Are you saying that I shot Miss Bates?
That gun was in your possession at the time, Grody.
Oh, she was the best friend I ever had. The only one in this town that ever treated me like somebody. I wouldn't have done nothing to hurt Miss Bates.
You had that gun, the same kind she was killed with.
Oh, that gun ain't been fired in years.
What?
Well, Mr. Bates never did use it. Why, it's even got rust inside the barrel.
Grody, for your sake, I hope it has.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, one domino tips, the whole stack tumbles, and the last man falls with a crash. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, Johnny does seem in this episode to be making, grasping a bit more in allegations than we have seen in previous serials. And it's something to note. One listener suggested that this could come off as arrogance. I don't see in this particular case any sort of arrogance. It's more a lot of frustration. This actually is one of my favorite Johnny Dollar serials, just because of the contrast between Johnny Dollar and the town constable and their approach. And I think the constable's approach is just absolutely frustrating for Johnny, because basically he's dealing with someone who knows everybody and can't imagine any of them committing the crime. And constantly says, you know, it just wasn't in their nature, which isn't something you can quantify, and which isn't something that Johnny can tell his insurance company. And I think definitely it's a level of frustration because it's such a foreign approach. And I have to say that to me is what really led to him even asking the question, how was your relationship with your niece? Is there some sort of angle I can hang on to here? obviously, there's just such a contrast in style. And I have to say, I remember the end, and I think it's just perfect. And I think we will definitely, you'll want to be here on Friday to hear how this all turns out. Because I just absolutely love the end of this serial. Well, that, we have actually one comment and then we'll be done for today. Lee says, Adam, I haven't listened to The War yet, but I'm addicted to The Great Detectives, and I'm sure this will be just as good. I'm very excited about your new effort. Please add a link from The Great Detectives page. I wouldn't find it till I happen to have a pencil nearby when you mention it again. Thanks for all you do. I love your work, Lisa. Well, thanks so much, Lisa, and that's a good idea. I don't know why I didn't think about it, but by the time you hear this show, it will be added, so I appreciate that feedback. All right, well, we continue on. Join us tomorrow for Nick Carter, and then Friday, the exciting conclusion of the Shady Lane matter. Send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.